아니 바도 메바 주 엔데네기 류 바도 메바 주야다 이 이거네 아니 듄기 당아 저거 지게 사다셰 비게 산게 다신스 바든 주 구송도 유엔데 제 제주도 전에 데라야 데바 지주 제바다 데데베 유엔데지 능내야 토바쇼 심비게 데 메바체 데네 저 데네 물이 기고네 차세야다 나기 거네 떼바 떼야 데네 소스게 예, 그제 최비 유지 매도다 두별라 소바나 소바티 푸보레 세지 어도 지나는 저기 드린 쇼웨디 이걸 카산다 드린 쇼웨디 이걸 마시 서바다
Good afternoon. So last night and today we've started to look at the seven limb praxis. And of the seven we've looked at the first two. And to present them in brief, prior to one engaging in the seven limb praxis, one has generated the motivation of bodhicitta and refuge and visualized before one the merit fields. Here now, in the start of the seven limb praxis, one specifically calls to mind innumerable Buddhas and bodhisattvas. And in brief, one imagines on every atom a Buddha surrounded by bodhisattvas within that Buddha's pure land. So before one imagines innumerable Buddhas and bodhisattvas. And one doesn't merely call them to mind, but one also calls to mind their remarkable qualities, leading in dependence on prior study and reflection, leading in dependence on that to the generation of both faith in their great qualities, as well as aspiration to develop them oneself so as to fulfill one's bodhisattva intention. And then one engages in prostrations through imagining countless bodies of oneself, prostrating together physically, as well as reciting praises to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and with an understanding of emptiness too. In this way, one prostrates with body, speech, and mind. And thereafter, one makes offerings to the same objects, or the same beings, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and they are the two divisions of offerings, surpassable and unsurpassable. So that, in brief, is what we looked at last night and this morning. So a question has been asked, and that is, to rephrase it, the presentation of the difference between surpassable and unsurpassable offerings was made in between the bodhisattvas make offerings that are unsurpassable, whereas ordinary beings make offerings which are surpassable. And so therefore, that implies that the offerings of ordinary bodhisattvas and Arya bodhisattvas are both equally unsurpassable. So it was just asked, is that the case? And Geshe-la says no. So the general division between surpassable and unsurpassable is those beings with the powerful, those bodhisattvas, the usual division is those with powerful concentration, their offerings are unsurpassable, whereas those without such concentration, it is surpassable. That being said, one could also make the division in between surpassable and unsurpassable, between Arya bodhisattvas and non-Arya bodhisattvas, in which case ordinary beings and ordinary bodhisattvas, their offerings would be considered surpassable because the offerings of the Arya bodhisattvas do surpass theirs and therefore would be unsurpassable. The offerings of the Arya bodhisattvas could be considered unsurpassable in relation to non-Arya bodhisattvas. And in fact, even amongst the Arya bodhisattvas, the bodhisattvas abiding on the bearing 10 grounds, one could make a cutoff at any point and say from this point, perhaps on the 10th ground bodhisattva, there is nothing greater than the 10th ground bodhisattva's offering, so theirs are unsurpassable. And everyone below the 10th ground bodhisattva, their offerings are surpassable. So one can divide it in different ways. The general way it is divided, though, is between ordinary beings and bodhisattvas. And there was a second question.
So the second question just relates to the verse on verbal prostrations. So page 47 in the book, I'm not sure what it is in the other text, but Lama Tsongkhapa says, or what I heard Geshe-la explain was that already we visualized many bodies, and each body has a head, and each body has a tongue. So therefore, there are innumerable heads and innumerable tongues giving praise. But the wording here is, in the English, is that each body emanates innumerable heads, and each tongue there's sort of like an emanation of tongues as well. Sure. So I'm just wondering about the Tibetan in that section, because Geshe-la's thing sounded clear, but I wasn't sure if this English translation goes a step further.
Sure. Let me just have a quick look. You have to come out to answer today.
The translation is correct. Geshe-la did say that, but I didn't translate that, so that was my error. So the book is correct. Yeah. And Geshe-la, in his commentary, he gave it as written, but I didn't say that. Yeah, so that's where the error came in. Okay. Yeah, Adamsha?
I just want to clarify, we seem to make offerings of fragrant flowers, fragrant incense, the aroma of the butt lamps. So are we actually offering the smell, and we're offering different sorts of smells?
Yeah, so it seems like that in those that you mentioned, the fragrance aspect is being emphasized. So is it really the fragrance that is being offered as opposed to what surrounds it, the flower itself or the incense itself or the flame itself?
This is your key to. marme phede pe phede pe gi dir phigor ba da pe gi dir zo phigor ba marme sa de we zo phigor ba da ti ga di so so ba
so what is being offered is that the main substance, the flower, the incense, the batel lamp, but these, because one's offering the very best, they have specific wonderful features such as fragrance as well. So one would expect fragrance with incense, but some flowers are more fragrant than others, so this is being emphasized. And then similarly with the batel lamp, one really is offering light. But the offering is of the very best we can imagine. Hence, the aspect of our fragrance is brought into it
here. Okay. In
a similar way with the batel lamp, what is really being offered is not so much the batel or the fragrance, but one is imagining these are of the best possible quality too, when it's really offering the light. But one could also offer the other aspects, such as the greatest quality butter and mixed with incense as well, so that it smells appealing. And likewise, when one offers, I think it was mentioned, light from jewels, something like that was mentioned. So here, again, this is just to show that one is offering light of a variety of sources, all of which are the very best possible. And we can also think when we offer food, generally food will be in a container of sorts, usually arranged on a plate. And we know we're offering the food, not really the plate. That being said, the plate would be clean, and the plate would be a one that's attractive. So whilst it's a food offering, one would ensure that the vessel that it's being offered into would be one that's attractive. So it's just really about, from every aspect, to make the offerings as wonderful as possible to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Okay. Andy?
With the mental prostration last night, is it really just the veneration after you've done the thought of infinite atoms containing the infinite bodies surrounded by bodhisattvas in the emptiness? Or do you, within the mental, do you also visualize your bodies physically doing it?
With the mental prostration, in addition to what was explained in the four lines of the verse, does one also imagine or visualize oneself prostrating as well? So is there an action, an aspect of that physical movement of prostration?
In the
mental prostration. Yeah, in the visualization. So the mental prostration is the, maybe you could express it as the mind of faith is arising, the mind of faith towards the qualities of the Buddha, and that mind of faith, or maybe we could even say that our reaction to that mind of faith, that itself is the prostration, for mental prostration. So just looking at the dictionary, so other words that are used will be, in addition or alternatively to prostrate, will be homage or salutation or reverence. So especially reverence works very well. So mental reverence, that works very well. Sure.
So with the speech verse, from what I understood, I just want to clarify, this verse as it's translated here is actually completely opposite from what you said. Because this thing about inexhaustible seas of praise, inexhaustible, if I'm right, that low class of qualities.
Yes.
So they're sort of good.
Yeah, so that's what for us is the fourth line, inexhaustible seas of praise. The inexhaustible relates to the seas or the oceans, but that refers to the qualities. So it's the qualities of those to whom the prostrations are being offered. Prostrations are being offered. Those are inexhaustible. Yes. Okay.
That is.
Just want to understand, what is the intention of these offerings? Is it to generate or invoke those qualities of Bodhi, Buddhas and Bodhi Swatas before I go into my career?
So what is the purpose of these offerings? Huh? Is it to invoke these qualities before one goes into meditation?
개와지 망부시 사회도 검제바이나 니기 슈킨기 기인기 아주 검디 니바디 레라 요토 거르와 지나데 니기 기 가야 메바제 코론 지 검제냐 직부로 잡되베네 니기 네 똑바께 망와 마 고려하다 아니 지기 깨레 깨레카 용 거르와 지니자 코 기위 삼로 망부 진념도 여바나 되니기 안 디진지 검르캐나 똑같이야다 가르케네 레라임 고레세 티가다 디르바다 제자당 안주게 개와세디 삼로 나라야 베네 산지 쿠송도 연데된 대바지도 제바 코롱 개와라 된 대바지지불로 코롱 개와래 다데니게
So in brief, the purpose of making offerings, as with these seven limbs, is to accumulate, or with several of the seven limbs, is to accumulate merit. And one's doing this in the preparation for the actual meditation. So for one's meditation to be successful, the success of one's meditation is greatly aided by the accumulation of merit and the purification of obstacles. Because it's through a lack of merit that our meditation doesn't lead to transformation. Or it can be expressed as due to many inner obstacles, our meditation doesn't lead to transformation. So therefore, to aid our upcoming meditation, which will be in the main part of this practice. Now we're in the preparation. One accumulates merit and then purifies as well beforehand. So this is why one prostrates, makes offerings. This accumulates merit. So then, what is so merit or virtue? They're different Tibetan words, but same meaning. So I use them interchangeably. So then, what does it mean to talk about merit or virtue? It comes down to, it can be expressed through body, speech, or mind, but it is when the mind in particular, when the mind is particular, is virtuous. That is the accumulation of virtue. When the mind is non-virtuous, it's accumulation of non-virtue. So when one is recalling the many excellent qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, faith is arising. That is the virtue. So that is how one creates virtue, by recalling the qualities of the Buddha, which is done before prostration and offering. Then when one makes the offering, this is the mind of generosity. So you're giving, powered by one's faith, accompanied by the aspiration to develop those qualities. All of that together, these are virtuous minds, the faith, the aspiration, and the mind of generosity. These all lead to the accumulation of virtue. So we're strengthening our virtuous minds. And likewise with speech, with the recitation of words, but the mind is on the meaning of the word. So therefore, virtue is being accumulated by that recitation. And likewise with prostrations, because the mind should be engaged with the physical aspect of prostration too. And this all leads to the accumulation of virtue, sometimes via the body, via the speech, or solely mental. And then when one later comes to meditate, our habituation to virtuous minds is powered, is strengthened, and that's how it aids our later meditation.
Okay.
To talk further then about virtue and non-virtue, or merit and non-meritorious, if you recall the qualities of the Buddha, and with this comes mind such as faith or aspiration to develop them, faith in that trust in these remarkable beings, or in these remarkable beings. This is virtuous, this mind, and the aspiration to become like that. This too is virtuous. But if one thinks of the qualities of the Buddha, And one's mind doesn't become virtuous, but non-virtuous or afflicted, then one is going to criticize and find fault and think in this way. So from the same object, one could have a very different reaction. And then one is saying, oh, criticizing in whatever way. So this then is clearly non-virtuous. And between these two, faith and aspiration and criticism, it's clear which will serve to aid our meditation and which will serve to hinder our meditation. And also, these two minds are contrary. One's not going to have both, but the one will overpower the other. And where this is of great importance is, for example, when with the recalling the qualities of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and faith and aspiration to develop those arise, that aspiration is we can call joyous perseverance, because with this aspiration comes the wish to engage, and that overcomes laziness, the opposite mind. Similarly, in the practice of offering, this is the mind of generosity, of giving of oneself. So here, this is a very broad training to freely give of oneself to ease the suffering of others, and it counters the opposite mind, the self-centered attitude of miserliness. And this we can understand. People who are naturally generous, their mind of miserliness will not be nearly as strong as someone who is known for being miserly. For them, generosity struggles to arise, because these minds are contrary. So by training in generosity, our miserliness is weakened in proportion to our strengthening generosity. And a final example would be that of patience. Patience is the mind that stays subdued in the face of adversity. So when one is encountering problems from outside or within, the mind stays undisturbed by those problems and can skillfully deal with them. The stronger one's patience, the weaker our impatience. And those who are very impatient, we know patience is a bit of a stranger to them. So this way, in meditation, as we cultivate the one, we weaken the contrary mind as well. So in this way, we can understand that patience is virtuous and it aids our meditation. Impatience is non-virtuous, it's an afflicted type of mind, and that hinders our meditation. Let's turn to the text. So we're starting in the published book on page 48 and in the handout on page 54 with confession, the third of the seven limbs. The confession of bad actions is set forth in the stanza. I confess each and every one of the negative actions I have done with my body, speech, and mind, influenced by desire, hatred, and ignorance. Depending on the cause, the three poisons, and by means of the three bases, body, speech, and mind, the nature is that I have done them. That is, I have actually created them. I have made others create them, and I have rejoiced in those created by others, all of which is generally subsumed under I have done. If through recollecting their faults you regret those done previously and sincerely confess them with intention to abstain from them in the future, you stop the increase of deeds done in the past and stop committing them in the future. Geshe just recited the verse, which I won't read again, but the line order, just so we know, is from the bottom to the top.
Angele, Tiji, Dinadanala, Deja Sheta, Timo Wangini, Sidu,
Look in the first two lines in Tibetan, which is the fourth, and then the third line in English. The fourth line presents the cause for our accumulated non-virtue. We accumulate non-virtue by attachment, anger, and ignorance. These are the causes by which we accumulate non-virtue. Just to say as a translator, the word for attachment can be translated as desire. The word for hatred is the same as the word for anger. This isn't different terminology. But this line then presents the cause by which we accumulate non-virtue. And then the means by which non-virtue is accumulated is in the third line, either through our physical behavior, our speech, or mentally.
Mm-hmm. Samlo nalaya, shenya, nubi sambata, magawi samlo jiyadu, di samlo de divarwada, jiki. And jiki, de ne kondo jiyadu, kondo wangi, jingani pa, shenya, tiksubuta, gyunju, dukja layundu, ding, divar, ngakun, divasa, chakore. Jazada, de ne kondo shukchimacha, de ne, lujukun, yedun, tayada, jiki, jiyadu, and that lujukun, divasa, de anjuki, the kondo wangi, divasa, de, the lunga yisum, divasa, the beru, dinishirwa.
If anger or malice arises within us towards someone, that mind is non-virtuous. So the mere arisal and engagement with this affliction is non-virtuous. So that would be a mental non-virtue. So the cause would have been anger, and the means would have been the mind. And now non-virtue has been created by that mind. If that mind then is expressed verbally, perhaps through harsh speech or criticism, then in addition to mental non-virtue, verbal non-virtues are created. And then if one gets into a physical altercation, then a physical non-virtue or non-virtue through the body is also created.
Shengi, Jala, Susu, Delia, Shengi, Jala, Jeliva, Chawaki, Chawaki, Dingal, Goods, and Chawaki, and do. Di Wangeda, Chawadi Wanga, and Anzuki, Shelia, Shen, the Kohorta, the Tichala, Riad, and the Koya, Kohorta, Jun Shedda, the Shevard, and I go in the Diva, with Jacky Wang and I go in the Diva chair. Then, Samunalia, the Jala, the Mutiche, Susula, Shahagipa, to she Mutiche, Samunan, here did that, the.
Yi And similarly with attachment. So we take an illustration, if you have attachment for someone else's possessions. And in particular, if this attachment is quite strong, it dominates the mind, there is already non-virtue accumulated. One now is attached to or desiring someone else's possession, not merely liking, but wanting it. Then if one acts under that influence, this mental non-virtue that's already created now is going to be compounded through perhaps one will talk to this person and try and deceive them, cheat them out of their possessions. So now in addition to mental non-virtue, one's creating a verbal non-virtue. And if one doesn't get, if one's devious speech isn't successful, then later one may try and steal what they have. And now one, in addition to mental non-virtue, is also creating non-virtue by physical means.
Dimu said, you can use a machine body, Dimu Chagar, machine body. Now you've been a Gijena Kiawa, the body said, there's a machine body, the Niki machine body, and Gijena Kiawa, and DP Chabar machine body, said Dimu Che. Machine D machine with Gingi, same chain sooner, Dipu Yungu about the D table, Duma Yungu, Mashi Banza, Mombi, Mombi, Diwangi, and then Hazuki, same chain. And the chicken, Simjin, Juice, chicken, Serbina, Lukitiva Chagrua. And then Yi Yukone, Musu, Suege, Suduki, Sambaru, Sudu, Yi Diva Chagrua. Then now you cone in Delia, Bene, Chicke, then now you cone in Shania, Susu, the Junjo, Chevala, Sopa, Chevana, the Angagi Diva Chagrua, just at the Mombi, Maribu, Mashibu, Murwa. Then the Niki, that.
And then the third one, that of ignorance. So just first from my side, there are two words for ignorance. The word that is used here is timuk, and it's the word for, that is the not knowing. So sometimes I translate this as confused ignorance, but it's where one is ignorant about something, one lacks knowledge. Not the other word which refers to not knowing about reality. So this is the ignorance of not knowing, for example, about the law of cause and effect. Not knowing about the law of cause and effect, one will not know what is virtuous or non-virtuous. So one may even think that something that is fine to do, but actually it is non-virtuous. For example, killing. And one may well have thoughts about killing or have a powerful thought of anger. And this is therefore non-virtuous, and this then can lead to being expressed perhaps through criticizing, so or harsh speech, or perhaps in physical coarse behavior such as fighting or even killing. So, not knowing about the law of karma, one will have thoughts which are non-virtuous, speech which is non-virtuous, and physical behavior which too is non-virtuous.
On the name that the Judo Sumra Tene Sidujiza, Judy Eche, Tene, that she Sidida, Divasagi Judo Sumra Tene, and she, Lula, Sova Sums, Lucy, Luda, Mada, Yugone, and the Sagurus, Rashini Adi, on the Lugor, and the Judo Sumra Tene, said Jerem Sonsecuti, Judo Sumra Tene, and the Ju, Tesha Timosum. Tela tene ane dikpa sago rechen, dikpa kande sago rechen, shi, lu la, so ba, sene, lu da, nga da, yi yukone, sum yukone sago rechen. Zedan ranshin ni, ranshin se di, jika sore, dweisha shedan, dimu wange ni, lu da, nga da, diji yi ki jang, ze, diki, gudan, jibu che. Tene ranshin ni, da ki, dikpa jipa di, su su yi se ni, ranshin ni, da ki, ranshin se di, Dagi tiba jeba, sosuge jeba. Sosuge jeba, dagi jeba desu. Sosuge tiba jeba dila, sosuge jeba da, rangi ngosu jeba, rangi ngosu me jeba, xianla jidu juba. Ani xiangi jeba dila, jesu yiran jeba, tiba sadha dila, da jiga sosuge, lunga yismi kudi tiba, sadha mangusua jisa, rangi ne dagi jeba de. Sida, deyang, sida dagi jeba, sida deyang, rangi ngosu jeba, sida, So, you can use the word to 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 use the word 那先你接接罢了，结束以上接罢是呢。接上提婆萨堂得了，让给我所接罢，先的接对让我所嘛接罢接，所以藏嘛印度多接就先来接的去罢接。他让这先你接罢得了，结束以上接呢，都是接罢呢。接上提婆萨堂得了，另外一些没关的提婆萨堂得的用过来接的，这么多。
Kind of was reading now through Lama Tsongkhapa's commentary, just making this lesson clear, but our translation is fine throughout, so I'll just read that. Depending on the cause, the three poisons, so that's what we have in the fourth line, attachment, anger, and confused ignorance, and by means of the three bases, referring to body, speech, and mind, their nature is that I have done them, that is, that I have actually created them, so one has done it oneself, or one has made others do them, or one has rejoiced in others doing them. So as we have
in the text.
So this then fits with what we have in the verse. I confess each and every one of the negative actions I have done. So I have done refers to what we have here below, that I've done directly, or has I have encouraged or made others do, or I have rejoiced in. So it's not merely or not only what I explicitly have done, but it includes what I have encouraged others to do and what I've rejoiced in that has been done. By doing it ourselves directly, or encouraging others, or making others do it, or rejoicing. This, it's important to be aware, to remain aware of these three different ways, and watch our mind, ensure we don't make such errors, because in the world this is very common. So for example, if we think of the concept of warfare, whilst on one hand, one could say very clearly, soldiers are killing, so soldiers are creating the karma of killing. But so too are the generals back in the headquarters on the comfy chairs. They are the ones sending the soldiers to kill. So they are also creating that karma of killing. And then the population rejoicing in their side's success is also creating non-virtue. And it's not just in a case of warfare, but in killing, which is perhaps a bit more familiar in our own society, say with hunting or with fishing. There is that which is done explicitly. Then one may encourage one's friend to come along and enjoy a day on the boat fishing, and the rejoicing in what your friend has caught. So in this way, one creates negativity through one's direct engagement, as well as one's indirect engagement. And this is done, as we've seen, through the three means of physical behavior, verbal communication, and mentally. And other than through these three doors, there is no other means by which non-virtue is created. And then the cause that leads to non-virtue would be coming from these three poisons of confused ignorance, anger, and attachment.
So the text we've just been commented on, all of which is generally subsumed under I have done. So these, now to continue to look at the verse, these negative actions that I have done, these are to be confessed in their entirety. So for us it's the first line. The entirety of faults that we can both recall having done, but no, as well as those that we imagine we would have done but forgotten, or perhaps in previous lives, all of these, knowing that these non-virtues are the causes that will lead to suffering, regret arises. So prior to confession, one needs to generate regret. One needs to see faults as faults. And then one confesses, and either before or after, one includes with that, includes with confessing that of restraint, where one makes the commitment, I will restrain myself from engaging in such physical, verbal, mental behavior. I'll restrain myself from coming under the influence of these afflictions, and I'll restrain myself from acting under their influence. And this then is confessed to the beings that we already imagined before us, these countless Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So this is now continuing in this third limb on what has been built previously or imagined previously.
Whilst it's not explicitly stated in the verse, what is being referenced is the four opponent powers. So even where they are not explicitly stated,
when one does the limb of confession, one should rely on all four opponent powers. And it's quite easy to do because one has already previously generated refuge and bodhicitta and imagining the Buddhas and bodhisattvas surrounding oneself. So the power of the basis has already been generated. Here, through one's reflection, regret for past non-virtues is generated, and restraint, the promise not to continue, what now one cultivates, because that is part of confession. Another way to translate the word confession is to admit. So when one admits something, one would like to think this comes with regret and restraint. So that is the meaning here, that when I confess, one is confessing from a basis of regret, as well as a promise not to continue in this way. So there are already three of the four opponent powers, the basis, regret, and restraint. And then the final opponent power, that of the antidote, as you know, this can be any virtuous activity. And it could be recitation of mantra, meditation on compassion or on emptiness, or whatever you are inclined to. Without these three poisons of attachment, anger, and ignorance, no non-virtue will be accumulated. And the very root of these is ignorance itself. Now this word timuk for ignorance, it means whatever is not known. So it encompasses everything that we do not know. And here specifically it refers to being ignorant about karma, which means we are ignorant about what actually leads to desired states of happiness, what actually leads to suffering, in other words, what is virtuous and non-virtuous. But one can also include in this type of ignorance, timuk, one can also include ignorance about the nature of reality, so believing that things exist in the way that they appear. So in this way, we can say that from ignorance, including this type of ignorance, this ignorance of not knowing, all the afflictions arise, attachments and anger arise from ignorance.
Long chair, the Dunda Dugorwa, Chesanda Hagoedwa, Chesaha Moed, the Timuche, Dimuk di meba soya la, haa kuhaya sebeda, haa kuhaya di sekurwa. Chisa ta ngana juki duji ki, ngana zu pungpo di ki, ane, mida ba yinba di ngana zu haa kuhu maa, taksin seya di, ngana zu gidi na, te, kuhu gine ma, chik gidi na, kasana, diri na, chisa muti ni, takara, kyo takara, ne di peke, samlo di taksin di yorwa, di ngana zu taksin, dimuk ruhu chekwa taksin ni. Chisa di meba soya liya, ngana zu samlo ta di paa, jeba che, jeba che che,
ne yu kewa ta diba ta mita pa ngo se dine ha go ba na ne di le dine di ba sa me ri ra ha mo go ba ne de le dine an ja wa ji di ba sa di ngo ro wa ji sa di ne ge
From ignorance comes all our afflictions. Not knowing, being confused, being ignorant, from this leads to all our problems and difficulties. For example, if you sit behind the wheel of the car and decide, I'm going to drive it, but you have no idea how to drive, things will not go very well. And what is the solution? It's very obvious. The solution to not knowing something is to come to know it. One needs to learn how to drive a car, and then things will go somewhat better. So too in our the context here. If one is ignorant about cause and effect, one needs to gather knowledge about cause and effect. And not merely knowledge or only knowledge, but one needs to think about that knowledge deeply so that it has a transformative impact on one's mind. So just like in any aspect of one's life, if there's something that one wants to do, one then knows perhaps about the results you want to achieve. So now you'll think about the causes required, the method that one needs to employ to gain a result. So therefore, if one wants a particular result, one needs to know the causes. Similarly, if one observes causes, if one knows what will result from that, you'll know if one wants to gather more of those causes or not. So therefore, we need to understand both causes and results and understand them to a degree that they have an impact on our mind. But as mentioned earlier, this ignorance is much broader than just cause and effect in many categories. One can also say ignorance towards impermanence. Because a natural way of thinking that causes us so many problems is our grasping at permanence, at believing that past events or past situations are unchanged. So this we need to reflect on deeply. And just because we recall something as being like that, it doesn't mean it is like that now. In fact, it will have changed in so many ways between then and now. When one thinks about subtle impermanence, reflecting on momentary change extensively, eventually giving rise to a valid cognition, realizing a subtle impermanence, one will be freed of this ignorant grasping at permanence.
So therefore, in our, back to our context here of cause and effect, by coming to understand the topic well and reflecting deeply on it, one will readily refrain from non-virtue and engage in accumulating virtue. This will become very natural to one. It will be easy to refrain from non-virtue, and one will readily, with ease, strive in virtue.
Anga dine za da nga ju ge mita ba se de nga ju ge jing mita ba se to ya la ne de ya a ji gum se sam da je ba che a ya ne ya de sam da ba de ne ane ko mita ba se to gu ro wa ba de sam ma da ba ji je ba ma che na mita ba de mita ba re sam ba sam ji jing mita ba re lam na ya da nga ju ji ge dan da ngoma de kan ba mita ba re sam ba ne da ba ne mita ba to tu ya ka bu ro wa jina mita ba se de to ya le ya sam na ta kim zin sam ba che ba che ya ne ya do ya ne ya sam ta de jin ba che ba che sam ta de ji ma ni ship cha sa sa cha 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 li gu ro wa ta me de je da di re sha sam be gi da ta shu be nge ba xin ye so ba ne mita ba se du ro wa jisa de ni gi to so ba ne de ta zin se de sam ru de yong go ma ro wa de yong go ma re de ne de ti ro wa o di na xin da ta ti mu de se de ta cha shu de ti mu de se se che sa de da me ba tong ba ni to ho re se de jisa sam gi ngazuge che tam ji ge rang xin gan de xin ba pa ji rang xin che ba che xi pa ba yi gum zhe sam da che ba che ya ne yan de gum zhe sam da che ba che che ba che ba che de ji zhe na wa na xin ma lai ma de ba rang wen ni zu ba de zao qi ni min duo san be ge ji zhe de che tam ji xin qi de de ne lü pa da ba zam ji jue ba ji ma duo ka lai ma de rang wen ni zu ba zao qi de min duo san be ta jue ba ji ha guo ya la ne 그니까
The challenge with a topic like impermanence is initially, it seems kind of obvious, and therefore one thinks there's no need to really dwell on it much. But this is an error, because for a topic of the Dharma to have a radical impact on one's mind, one needs to think about it based on reasons and do so repeatedly over a sustained period. Without analysis on a topic, such as impermanence, one will never come to realize it. And for years, one will just hear about it every now and again, but one will still not have realized it. And even merely repeating that, oh, things are impermanent, this will not transform how one lives one's life, how one experiences the world. For that, one needs to reflect based on reasons, repeatedly over a sustained period. And with impermanence and the other topics too, one starts at a simple level, and independent on how well your meditation's going, how much merit one has and so forth, one goes at one's own speed deeper and deeper, coming to see ever more clearly how phenomena change momentarily. And as one engages in this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period and keeps what one has meditated on alive and fresh as one in one's mind as one goes about one's daily business, it will start to impact our grasping at permanence. It will start to weaken. We'll no longer expect things to be how they once were, or how they are now, that they will be like this in the future. Our grasping will weaken. The subtlest form of ignorance to come to realize is the ignorance of self-grasping. This, like the other analytical topics, to come to realize this, One needs to rely on reasons, not mere vocal repetition. One needs to meditate repeatedly over a sustained period using reasons. One starts, like with all the topics, at a coarser level, and in dependence on one's progress will move subtler, coming to first recognize how phenomena appear or how a particular phenomenon appears to your mind, then investigating to see whether it exists in the way that it appears, seeing if it exists by way of its own innate essence or nature or characteristic, coming to see whether the way it appears, is that true or not. And one again and again will come to recognize it does not exist in the way it appears. It's empty of existing the way that it appears. And thereafter, one asks, so then how does it exist? And moving from emptiness, we move to dependent arising and recognize it exists merely labeled by mind. No phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. It's empty of existing in the way that it appears. But it does still exist, but only labeled by mind. Meditating like this, again and again, using reasons, repeatedly over a sustained period, keeping this meditation alive and vibrant in one's mind whilst one is going about one's daily activities, this then will lead to one's ignorance of self-grasping weakening, and thereby the strength and frequency of the afflictions arising, that too will weaken, and eventually one will eradicate the ignorance of self-grasping entirely through developing the wisdom realizing emptiness, the contrary mind. And at that point, when one is liberated from ignorance, one is liberated from the afflictions too.
That deepa sagre setan kewa sagre chasa di nganzu jige lyu gu ne deepa da nga gu ne deepa sa se na lyu gu ne kewa sa nga gu ne kewa sa se chasa nang samlo kunlo la ra le gu ma do nang samlo kunlo ga ya me wa chi la ane lyu gu ne deepa sa ya da nga gu ne deepa kewa sa de ka le ha bo wa pe ne nga ju gi jige xin le ba ji lung ru xiu jie zha ru jun guo de ne di zha de ge wa ya cha ma mi ge wa cha ga ya ma ro ko ji ge dang ni ge suo de lung ma ne ru cha ge ru wa ga se ne kun nong gi kun nong yo ma ru wa de me ru wa ji ne di na xin ga ji ge la lü ji cha wa che ba di de wa re mi ge wa re le ne de di kun nong la sam da ye ru wa kun nong la ko kun nong sam na le xin he le pe ne ji
新安这个没想起来喇叭这个学位呢学的这个学位的地方里面给我来了呢但是我工作了三大了工作了偏别三大就可以给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给他给
그래서 제가 낮에 담아다면 남성 혼란이로 와. 뒤날 세워져가는 뉴스와서 혼란. 그래서 그 군원이야. 아니 체외 삼아 뉴외 삼아 여봐 뒤치네. 제가 니네 자당하는 주기 먼저 개화다 미개와 강사스마세디 조어 셈나 라리고. 제가 다 남버 산지 비기 아주 냠네 제림바들라. 제가 동화 규 셈레 제가 셈디 야게 땅고레 셈디 미기 외난 비지티 파 메바소 안 상피리티 파 모호 공패 땅고레 에사 지나다 디다와라 냄비리다 상비릭세디 냄바데 가레 상보데 가레스도 데 디야 심주지 제바체 디제바니 디제부 뉴가레레 데 용구도 제부 간에 용구도 세베게 삼무타네 뉴 되자 셰다 디무글레 데 뉴체 디제발레 데네다 삼노디 디기 아니 제부 둥아 용구다 데 Mikawa, Matamoya, Disamade, Papangure, such, Tushin, Shimju, Shahoeda. She doesn't do a similar rally go, she then seems to get Tangure, such, she's not Jimichi Sana, Caso, Samba Sana, Sada Lamiasa, Lamsunam, some Nero Lams, Samba Sana, Sada Lamiasang, Samba Nana, Sada Lamiangan, Tamje Samba Tala, Raja Sauce, Sungurwa, she's not. Samba Sambu Chen, Gunilla J. Jebine, Ning Java Yahuchunguri, yes, I. Samba Nambe, Gunilla J. Java Chebene, do a chungur, Chesa, Yunga, Jeba, Kewa, the Migo, Joe, Kais, Yadumas, so some rally go, yes, Chesa, Samba Sambu Chewa, Samba, somebody, and you are done with the Jam Nisha, Chesu Sam, then a mashi big Mumbati, yes, and you need to know a topic, Lodi, you come over, yes, a jungle, said Jim Sandy, rather.
This weekend, we've spoken about actions of body, speech, and mind a number of times. Amongst these three, mind is so important. So I want to talk a little about that to really emphasize to you your great individual responsibility to take responsibility for your own mind, to take care of your own mind in all situations. If we think of non-virtuous activities that are done with our bodies, so physical non-virtues, these require an afflicted mind motivating them. Likewise, non-virtuous speech requires an afflicted mind motivating it. So too, with wholesome physical activities, they require a wholesome mind motivating that. So too with wholesome speech, that requires a wholesome mind to motivate that. So therefore, our body and speech follow our mind. They depend on our mind. And it's actually quite difficult to imagine the accumulation of virtue on non-virtue through physical or verbal behavior without it being motivated by the relevant mind. So for example, on a windy night, if we're outside, we'll be aware of the movements of the wind, we'll feel the movements of the wind, and we'll hear the movements of the wind through objects. But no virtue or non-virtue is being created because there's no motivation behind that activity. So if one is engaging in harmful physical or verbal behavior, it depends so on the motivating mind. And if the virtue or non-virtue that is being created, if it is weak, middling, or powerful, that in turn also depends not only on the motivating mind, but the strength of that motivating mind. And a particular activity, physical or verbal, can be either virtuous or non-virtuous. The activity or the speech, the physical activity or the speech could be the same, but the motivation is what determines whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous. So if you imagine grasping someone with your hands and moving them violently, this would seem like an act of aggression. But it could also be an act of trying to save someone from falling off a precipice. That action is the same. The motivation is very different. Piercing someone's body with a sharp instrument, normally it sounds deeply unpleasant and would be non-virtuous, and it certainly could be if that were the motivation. But if it was a medical practitioner wanting to give a patient a healing injection, it would be virtuous. So the mind is primary in whether the activity, physical or verbal, is virtuous. So I encourage you with this to at all times take responsibility for your own mind. Take care of your own mind. And then an additional way to think about this is when we observe or experience the physical or verbal behavior of others. Because in general we innately know that the same activity or speech
can be both wholesome or unwholesome, we impute a motivation onto that person. And in dependence on how we believe their motivation to be, we can see them as acting in an aggressive manner towards us or helping us. And this then is a topic that's worthy of quite some investigation. But to continue with what we've been looking at here, the cause of our resultant behavior is the three poisons. And if the resultant behavior stays mental, or if it is expressed verbally or physically, whether it is virtuous or non-virtuous, virtuous or non-virtuous depends on the motivating mind. So we need to come to understand this topic of cause and effect very well, so that we identify what is non-virtuous, as well as identifying that motivating mind, and thereby ensure that that motivating afflicted mind, we don't act under its influence, because we'll know it leads to the creation of causes for suffering. And thereby, we need to take care of our mind and ensure that it doesn't come under the influence of afflictions. If afflictions arise, that's okay, let them go. If afflictions arise, don't grasp at them. Don't believe that this act of attachment or aggression is justified. Rather, let the affliction go and generate a wholesome mind rather. Then Geshe quoted something from Jerenpuche's Three Principal Aspects of the Path. It goes something like this. From a good heart or a wholesome mind follows wholesome paths of action. From a cold heart or an unwholesome heart follows unwholesome paths of action. So here, the Lama Tsongkhapa is expressing exactly the meaning of what I'm presenting here now. Our mind is so important. This is what we need to take care of, take responsibility for at all times.
ちなだ三の点がとがわとな三の点にもにとぐよばざえええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええええ 那个，那地方下呀啦，什么都行了。三当他都是三当过来些，三当他那个二八当子了，都行了。那个都行了，三当公司学过来啥的，都是我的。
Wholesome minds, virtuous minds such as love, compassion, contentment, patience. These minds we need to spend time on cultivating them in our meditation. And whilst going about our daily activity, call them to mind and have them present as much as one can. Because their mere presence keeps our mind at ease, joyful and peaceful. So if we think, to take a very different analogy, if we think of every country has its army and their armaments production, and so these armies will have well-stocked storehouses of weapons, which are, where things are going well, covered in dust, and maybe their best before date is rapidly approaching, and then they have to be disposed of. So this is hopefully what happens with most nations' armies. But where this illustration is relevant for us, how armies prepare themselves, or rather militaries prepare themselves, is that they prepare their skill base for a later time of danger. Then, should danger come, they are ready. And that's the approach that we should take. In particular, if we think of patience, the concept of patience sounds very nice, but at the time we need it, we may struggle to rely on it. And that's not a fault of the concept of patience, but it just means our training is insufficient. Because to rely on patience in the face of danger, we can only rely on our patience then if we have cultivated it well before. So there are the threefold classification of patience, that relating to harm from others, so those external to us, the patience of willingly accepting hardship, so whatever mental turmoil is arising within, as well as the patience relating to challenges in our Dharma practice. So whichever of all these three types, the patience is similar, but they relate to different sources, external, internal, or the practice of the Dharma. But if we have trained well prior to facing adversity, in particular in love, compassion, and wisdom, then our patience will be well developed. When we face adversity, we become aware of adversity arising within us, we'll readily be able to apply patience. And patience is the expression of our prior training in love, compassion, and wisdom. And then we'll be like a well-trained soldier who's got all the right armaments to deal with that adversity. And you will face no danger. Your own afflictions will not be able to overwhelm you and harm you. So therefore, whilst things are relatively okay in your life, use this opportunity not to engage solely in frivolous activities, but train your mind. Train your mind with commitment, cultivating good qualities, thereby weakening unwholesome minds. Because life will become challenging again.
And if one has used the opportunity when things are going a bit better, one can skillfully deal with challenges and thereby preventing them even from becoming challenges. And if, I also want to encourage you that when you engage in meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, cultivating the same topic, don't leave what you've cultivated on the meditation cushion. Bring it to mind throughout your day. Because whenever virtue arises in your mind is more at ease, it's more peaceful. You'll recognize this within yourself. You recognize that your mind is becoming more loving and compassionate, and the way you're engaging with others, that too is more loving and compassionate. And also another mind, Geshe mentioned it a few times, is contentment, to train in these. So that as one is going about one's daily life, when one meets situations that previously you would have found challenging, because of your training in good qualities such as love, compassion, patience, wisdom, contentment, when one meets these situations, you will not even notice them as challenges. You will not experience them as challenges. This will come about through repeated training on your cushion, but then bringing that to life throughout the day. Then you'll be able to, wherever you go, whatever you are doing, whatever you're encountering, your mind will be at ease. Your mind will be comfortable with whatever circumstances you find yourself in. And whomever you are with, you'll feel a closeness to them, a warmth towards them. You'll always feel or find yourself surrounded by friends. And these qualities of mind that are developed through meditation, remember the synonym for meditation, habituation, when they really, these virtuous minds are becoming habits, so that they dominate one's very personality, one's very being, they will accompany us on life's journey, wherever it takes us in this life, and they'll accompany us as we move into the next life. So thank you. Then we'll conclude therefore for this weekend. Thank you very much.